It's a joy to be with you to open God's Word together tonight. Please turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2. Tonight we'll be looking at Colossians 2 verses 6 through 7. This past year in student ministries, we walked through the New Testament and studied what it means to be in Christ. And something that we saw from Scripture is that being in Christ means that this is not a relationship that goes away. We are positioned in a certain way to go a certain way. Your root produces fruit. Now, as believers, we have an active walk in Christ. Our words, our ways, our walk are no longer our own, but surrendered to God. I think we could think of it this way. What you love is what you live for. What you love is what you live for. What you love determines how you live. Your commitments show your cause. We've seen professional musicians who practice hours and hours and hours a day to play a piece or a technique just right. Athletes physically and mentally prepare themselves at the highest level for competition. One missionary I heard say one time that when he wakes up, he thinks about missions. And when he works throughout the day, it's on missions. And when he goes to bed at night, he thinks about missions. He lives and breathes, desiring to see sinners come to Christ. Right? How you live shows the world what you love. What you do demonstrates your desires. Now, as believers in Christ, we need to reflect how we live and ask, do I really love God, and do I really love His words? And actions do speak louder than words. Do we say we love God, yet we don't live for Him? Do we say we love God and don't trust or follow Him? Do we say we love God and yet don't talk to Him or hear from Him from His word? We need to pause tonight and reflect on our life. Do our priorities in our life truly align with God's purposes for us? Is Christ everything to us, or really nothing to us at all? Charles Spurgeon commented on this, and he said, if Christ is not all to you, He is nothing to you. He will never go into partnership as a part savior of men. If He be something, He must be everything. And if He be not everything, He is nothing to you. Powerful words. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to Colossians, writes on this very thing. The city of Colossae was very similar to what we see as a modern day, maybe New York or Los Angeles. It was a major port city. It was heavily trafficked, so people were coming in and out all the time. There were floods of people there bringing in false teaching and influences that tried to make their way into the church. Now, Paul was in prison when he wrote this letter, and he had never visited Colossae before. But the situation was so bad that a brother named Epaphras traveled 1,300 miles to tell Paul how bad it really had gotten in the church in Colossae. And that would be like walking from here to California on foot, just for reference. Now, instead of being influenced by the world and false teaching and going after strange myths, Paul's point in the book of Colossians is that Christ is all and in all. Christ is everything. Is Christ everything to you tonight? As we approach Colossians 2, Paul writes this at the beginning of verse 6. Take a look. It says, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord. Now let's pause there for a second. The reality of the Christian life is that you believe Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Now, some people say, well, I accepted Jesus as my Savior at this point in life, but then I accepted him as Lord in this part of my life. Now, when people say that, they're essentially saying they believed he was maybe he was real at one point, but they really didn't start following or surrendering their life fully to him until a later point in their life. Now listen, I think what we see from this verse here is that if we're going to receive Jesus, we need to take him completely for who he is. You can't cut up Jesus into pieces like a smashed donut and then try to piece him back together at your convenience. If you're going to accept Jesus, you accept him for who he really is, which here we see is Lord. Jesus is Lord, he's the master, he's the king. Jesus is fully and truly God. Now, receiving Jesus doesn't mean just saying you believe. We call that easy believism, where maybe you prayed a prayer, and that's it. You're done. Receiving Jesus doesn't mean you have this emotional experience, and therefore you're a Christian. Receiving Jesus doesn't mean doing good works and trying to earn favor with God and trying to do good and earn favor with people by showing them how good you are. The word for receive here means to take. It means to take something close alongside yourself. When you love and cherish something, you hold it close to you. We have a newborn. Babies have pacifiers. Children have lovies or toys. Adults maybe have families, friends, or memories that we hold on to. And we hold on tight to these things and try not to let go of them. When you receive Jesus as Lord, you hold fast to Christ. And we sing that song, don't we? He will hold me fast. But we ourselves need to hold fast to Christ. To receive Jesus Christ the Lord means you agree that he's Lord, you accept he's Lord, and you take Christ as Lord close alongside your life. It's surrendering everything to him. Your desires, your decisions are surrendered to Jesus. Now, maybe tonight, Christ may feel far off from you. And maybe you've been searching for some type of good work or thing you have to do or some sort of experience that you're trying to feel to get closer to him. Perhaps spiritual growth has felt a bit stagnant to you. But instead of searching out for this mystical spiritual experience, when we receive Jesus Christ the Lord, the response we see is actually commanded in the rest of verse 6. Look, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Now, this word for walk is not talking about physically walking. We heard some of this morning from Pastor Wells. It's similar to when we say, to talk the talk, you need to walk the walk. What are we saying by that? We're saying we need to practice what we preach. To walk in Christ means to live out your life in continual Christ-likeness. Paul put it this way in Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. He says, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and multiplying in the full knowledge of God. To walk worthy of our calling means this, to live up to our salvation. To live up to the gospel, to live up to our Lord. If you have surrendered that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, then you are safe from your sin and should see spiritual fruit bearing in your life because His Spirit lives within you. You should see growth in knowing who God is because you are in Christ. Being in Christ means you do more than talk the talk of being a Christian, but you also walk the walk. The Christian life is not just something you said or did in the past, but it is a present, active, continual walk with your Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but that can be difficult and intimidating at times. And sometimes it's easier to focus in our life on what we're doing wrong and bad. We more easily sometimes see our spiritual decline instead of the incline. We focus more on maybe our spiritual failures than our spiritual growth. We can maybe look at our life and see how inconsistent we are with our Bible reading and prayer. We can fall into temptation and sin. We can feel like there's no spiritual progression. And instead of walking forward in faith, we feel like we're standing in place, not going anywhere, maybe feeling spiritually stuck. How do I have a vibrant, continual, active walk with God? What does it mean to be spiritually growing and active in my faith? How do I continue to take steps forward in my faith? See, what we see here in Colossians 2 gives us the answer for what an active faith really looks like. It shows us the footsteps of the Christian walk. And that's what I'd like to look at for the rest of our time, just in verse 7, which is four footsteps of the Christian walk. Four footsteps of the Christian walk. Now, as we walk through this verse, the tenses of the verbs are going to be very important, and I'm going to point that out as we go along. But each of these verbs in verse 7, or many of them, are called participles. And what they do is further describe the main verb, and in this case, describes the how of what it means to walk in Christ. What does an active faith really look like? So notice first, number one, our spiritual root. Our spiritual root. The beginning of verse 7 says this: having been firmly rooted. Now, when we think of roots, think foundations. When someone talks about their roots, it's often where they've come from. It's the starting point by which everything else comes in your life. Now, if a plant has a root and is firmly planted in the ground, it's not going anywhere. And some of you perhaps have been to places like the Sequoia National Park, and you've seen some of those impressive trees where the large cars and trucks even look like toy cars next to these impressive trees. Now, that is because these trees are grounded and have roots that run deep into the ground. And researchers estimate that those roots are 6 to 12 feet deep. Into the ground. They're fixed and secured, and they're not going anywhere. Now, as I mentioned, the verb tenses are very important to notice here. The word for firmly rooted is what we call is in the perfect tense. And that means that something has happened in the past and has implications in the present. So being rooted is something that has happened before, yet still has deep roots for you today. Now this summer, there was a very odd plant growing in our front planter in front of our door. Maybe some of you have seen it when you've driven by our house. Now, it grew out of another plant, and it kept growing higher and higher. And its stem was really thick, and it grew to be well over my head, which I know is not saying much, but it did grow well over Courtney's head as well. Now, when I went to go look at it, we just let it grow, firstly, because we were just curious, what is this thing? But then when I went out to go look at it, I tugged on it, and the whole plant just pulled right out of the ground, right immediately. And it looked so strong and tall on the outside, but below, it didn't have those deep roots. Now, an active life that is in Christ doesn't just look strong and tall above the surface, but it has deep roots, roots that cannot be easily pulled out or shaken. But what is the Christian life rooted in? This word for rooted appears only one other time in the whole New Testament. And its parallel passage is in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. And it gives us the answer of what we're rooted in. Listen as I read Ephesians 3. It says, "And that you, being firmly rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God." See, when we actively live in Christ, it comes from a life that is grounded and rooted in Christ's love, that knows Jesus Christ intimately. When we become believers and surrender our all to Christ, our foundation is the love that he has shown us, especially through his sacrifice for us on the cross for the punishment of our sin. His love is what grows and overflows in our life. And when we have those deep roots of his sacrificial love in us, it allows us to take a second footstep forward in verse 7. So number one was our spiritual root. Number two, our spiritual growth. Where verse 7 says, "and being built up in him." Now notice here the verb tense. Again, the verb tense is not a perfect tense, but it's in the present tense. So being built up is a continuous mark of the Christian life. I think this is important to note. Walking in Christ is not just taking a step of faith. Sometimes we hear that. We'll just take a step of faith. See, it's not a one-time commitment. It is a spiritual marathon, the Christian life. It means we enter an eternal relationship with God of becoming more like his son. The Christian life is not perfection, but progression and a process of sanctification and edification where we are built up in the faith. A life in Christ is a building process. Now, we don't build buildings overnight, do we? If we do, then they're probably not very strong buildings, and they'll probably topple right over. We've seen in the Midwest, at least I've seen, I've been shocked to see, how sometimes you see these tornadoes or these big winds come through, and those cheap metal storehouses just get ripped up right out of the ground. Right? But a good solid building, it's going to take time to build. And even if it is finished, the building is done, it's finished, it's still going to need updates, improvements, fortifications to make sure it stays strong. Listen, you're not going to be perfect overnight. In fact, you will never be perfect in this life. Only when we're glorified with Christ will we be exactly like him. But until then, this process of sanctification and edification is a lifelong building process. According to Ephesians 2:20 and following, we're spiritual houses being built with Christ as our cornerstone. Christ is our cornerstone. But Acts 20, verse 32, really shows us how we are built. And it reads this. Now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who have been sanctified. See, God's word of grace is what will build you up. A close walk with Christ looks like this. You've surrendered to him as Lord. You love him because he's loved you. You become more like him then by being in his word, by his spirit. And Paul emphasizes this later in Colossians 3:16 when he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with gratefulness in your hearts to God. Right? Part of the Christian wardrobe and what we clothe ourselves with spiritually is God's word taking up deep, permanent residence within us. Now, if you are not taking a serious intake and meaty diet of God's word in your life, how can you expect to spiritually grow? If you don't allow God's word to take root in your life by not only reading it, but then following his word, then how can we be expecting to build up and mature in our faith? And if we take Colossians 3:16 in reverse, I imagine if God's word is not richly dwelling inside of us, then how can we teach and admonish one another? How can we sing with gratefulness in our hearts to God? By the power of God's Spirit, God uses his word of grace to build us up in Christ, to grow and mature and to be more complete in Christ. Now, when that happens, a third footstep moves us forward in verse 7 in the Christian life. So not only our spiritual root and spiritual growth, but number three, our spiritual strength. Our spiritual strength. Verse 7 says, and continues, and having been established in your faith, just as you were instructed. Okay, so far we've seen the verb rooted, and that was in the perfect tense, which pointed to a past action that has present implications. And then the verb built up is in the present tense, which indicates that continuous ongoing action. Now this next word, established, is also in the present tense. But each of those three verbs are also what's called in the middle or passive voice. So being firmly rooted is not something we did, but is something that happens to us. Being built up is not something we do, but is something that happens to us. And then here too, being established is not something we do, but is something that happens to us. Namely, God is the one who does these things. God rooted us in his love. God continually builds us up in Christ through his word. And God continually establishes us in the faith through the teaching of his word. When you are in God's word, God strengthens you. And when you are taught in God's word, God strengthens you. The Lord confirms your faith. And as you are taught and instructed in the scriptures, your commitment to Christ and your faith becomes even stronger. Your foundation of the faith is established. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9 says this, eagerly awaiting the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, beyond reproach in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. See, in Christ and his word, God will strengthen and confirm you until the end. God is faithful. The Christian walk keeps walking and building and growing and strengthening until Jesus Christ comes back. But we don't do it on our own strength, but on God's strength. It is God who strengthens you in your faith. Sometimes I'm afraid Christians can be described like the first two pigs of the old Three Little Pigs fable. If you remember how that goes, right? The first little pig was very lazy. He didn't want to work at all, and he built his house out of... Yeah, good. The second little pig worked a little bit harder, but he was somewhat lazy too, and he built his house out of... Nice. Then they sang, and they danced, and they played together the rest of the day. The third little pig worked hard all day, and he built his house with... Yeah. It was a sturdy house, complete with a fine fireplace and chimney. It looked like it could withstand the strongest winds. Are we like the first two pigs? We somehow find excuses to lazily live the Christian life, and then we just go on merrily along on our way. But then we find ourselves doubting or discouraged when trial or temptation comes. Instead, that third pig reminds me a better illustration of what Jesus said, which is we need to build our house on the rock. A wise walk will both hear and do the word of God. Jesus says in Matthew 7, 24, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the rivers came, and the winds blew and fell against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. And everyone hearing these words of mine and not doing them may be compared to a foolish man who built his house on the..." Yes. "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." When we have been firmly rooted and a love and a desire for God and actively grow in his word, God is faithful to strengthen and establish you in your faith. Such footsteps of walking in Jesus Christ leads to one final and inevitable outcome in verse 7. And that is number 4, our spiritual thriving. Our spiritual thriving. Verse 7 finishes, "and abounding with thanksgiving." Our spiritual roots, spiritual growth, and spiritual strength are all things that happen to us by God. But here, the final verb tense is a present, not passive, a present active. This is the only active verb found in this verse. Our response to the Christian walk is an active spiritual thriving with thanksgiving. Having this type of walk causes us to praise God. We are rich with thankfulness, not just because of all that he's done, but with what he continues to do in our lives all the way to the end. Now, earlier we noted that Colossians 3:16, exhorting us to let the word of God dwell richly within us. But then he continues in that next verse, in verse 17, that whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. See, whatever you do in word or deed, a spirit-filled, word-indwelt Christian walk is going to respond in thanksgiving. And how can that be? How can we be content for things that should, from a fleshly standpoint, make us complain? If it were left up to us or to me, I think we would complain. We complain about the weather. We complain about things not going according to plan or how we would want it. We complain about what's going on in the world. We complain about the food we eat or the clothes we wear. We complain about our job, our pay, our current life situation. We complain about the past, the present, the future. We complain about unfulfilled goals and hopes and dreams. We complain about unmet expectations. But a distinct mark of the Christian walk as life is not abounding in discontentment or discouragement, but what? Thanksgiving. gratefulness. And the only reason it can be is not by anything from our doing, but by God's doing in our life. It's God who spiritually roots us in Christ. It is God who spiritually grows us in Christ. It is God who spiritually strengthens us in Christ. It is all God's doing in Christ by his Spirit through his word. And as a result, all we can do is respond in overwhelming, thriving vibrance and thanksgiving for him. We can't respond by being lame duck Christians, but instead excelling still more, excelling still more in his likeness. And Paul summarizes it this way in 1 Thessalonians 4:1 through 3. He says, "Finally then, brothers, we ask and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us as how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that what? You excel still more. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, your sanctification." Like these New Testament believers, we have been instructed how to walk in Christ. We've been given these footsteps of the Christian walk. So what is our response? Don't stop. Don't think you are okay spiritually. Don't think you've arrived in the Christian life. Keep going. Press on more. Excel still more. Continue to grow in holiness. Go deeper. Go deeper in the word and in your faith. Spend time with God in prayer. Don't give up when things are hard. Surrender your life to Christ and see his work in your walk. And worship him with thanks. Don't let Christ be nothing to you, but let him be your everything, your all in all. One brother in Christ who had this type of walk is who we know today as St. Patrick. We see St. Patrick's Day as a holiday for leprechauns and chocolate gold coins and partying, unfortunately, by the world. But Patrick really does give us something to celebrate. When Patrick was young, faith meant very little to him. But at a young age, he was captured by Irish pirates. And when he was in captivity, he converted and came to Jesus Christ, savingly. He escaped his captors, and he ended up going back to Ireland to plant churches. And can you imagine going back to the people who made you a slave and giving them the gospel? But many people came to saving faith in Ireland because of this man who we know today as St. Patrick. Patrick had a surrendered life to the Lord, and he walked closely with the Lord. And he wrote what's called today as St. Patrick's Breastplate. And it was written on the shields of soldiers as they would go out into battle. And as you walk in the Christian life, I pray that this prayer will be your prayer as we follow in these footsteps. May these words be written on the shield of your faith as you march forward walking in Christ. And here's what it reads. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me. Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me. Christ on my right, Christ on my left. Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down. Christ when I arise. Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me. Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me. Christ in every eye that sees me. Christ and every ear that hears me. May Christ be our everything as we walk in him. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we do come to you tonight in great thanksgiving because we reflect on all that you have done for us, but not only what you have done in the past, but what you continue to do, and that you will even keep us until the end. Now, I don't know who's here tonight, Lord, that perhaps is discouraged in their faith, maybe not growing as they are hoping or anticipated. Or perhaps there are some pridefully here who think we've arrived and we don't need to go more. Or we've heard these things before. Lord, convict us by your Spirit to be more in your word and to go deeper, to excel still more, and to continue walking with Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.